I want to speak out of the gospel today about how the Lord gives us a well-trained tongue. The book of Isaiah said, you know, all I know is that the Lord's given me a well-trained tongue. But that gift is really for every prophet. It's not just for priests or catechists or ministers, or it's for everyone. God wants to give all of us a well-trained tongue. There's a man today, though, who kind of is emblematic of some of the problem that we all have. And I don't mean everyone in the church in the exact same way, but collectively speaking, a lot of us are deaf and we have a speech impediment when it comes to God's word. And so let's take a look at what the Lord does today to address the problem. Now, the first thing to note is the place of the gospel, the place. It says that Jesus left and he went out to a region called the Decapolis. The Decapolis means in Greek, deca meaning 10 and polis meaning city. So it's a region of the 10 cities on the other side of the Jordan River. And these cities were pagan cities with an emphasis on pagan. They were emphatically not Jewish cities. They were in fact built by the Romans, the Greeks and the Romans, to entice the Jewish people away. These were big, beautiful cities. They looked like our Federal Triangle. They had big, colossal buildings, and they were big streets, and the streets were paved, and they were glitzy, glamorous, beautiful cities. And they proudly referred to themselves as the Decapolis, the region of the 10 great cities. So the Lord goes into this territory. It's emphatically not faith-filled territory. And what does he do? He does what he always does. He preaches the gospel. See, wherever you are, that's our job, to preach the gospel. Increasingly in our Western world, what began as a very strongly influenced Judeo-Christian culture, which served really as the basis of our law and our constitution and so much, all of this is beginning to go away and be marginalized. We're becoming secular, and many of the things that we were raised to know in terms of right and wrong are being set aside. And so increasingly, we are living in a kind of a city of the Decapolis. Now, notice though, the Lord doesn't say, well, don't go there. He goes there. And you and I live here. We live now. And our job is to love this city of ours, to love our country, and to continue to preach and teach and live to the very best of our ability what the Lord has given us to do. The Lord loved those people in the Decapolis. He did not hate them. He loved them, and he went to them, and he preached. So that's what kept the Lord engaged. What keeps you and me engaged? See? You see, it's too easy for us to just write it all off. Well, you know, it's just crazy today, and just kind of hunker down in our bunker and stop, you know? To ask the Lord for a love that goes to the Decapolis, that goes out into increasingly unbelieving situations, and still, with love and with courage and conviction, preaches and teaches. So again, just notice the place of this gospel. And it shows you why it is such a serious problem that we might be deaf and have a speech impediment when it comes to God's word. You see, because how can we do what I just said if the Lord doesn't help us to overcome this? So you notice again, we go from the place of the gospel to the problem. There was a man brought to him who was deaf and had a speech impediment. Now you notice they're related, right? I mean, we've all known and loved people who are deaf, and some of them more profoundly deaf than others, but we know that when they try to speak, their speech is, it sounds different. It's indistinct sometimes and difficult. It's because they don't hear, that they can't speak well. Well, brothers and sisters, this man who is deaf and has a speech impediment, he's us. That's us. Now, why do I say that? Again, I don't say it equally of everyone in this church, but collectively speaking, the Christian and Catholic faithful throughout the world are deaf and have a speech impediment. Because we're not speaking, we're not preaching, we're not teaching, we're kind of hunkered down, we don't know what to say. And the reason for that is that too many of us have not heard a word. We have not really heard the word of God. I don't know if you heard what the choir just said. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Do we have that mentality when it comes to the word of God? See. Our first problem, the reason we have trouble speaking, is that many of us have not heard. Or if we have heard, we have not really heard. Where the word of God just lays it out for us, and we're like, yes, it's so true. We say, well, that was interesting. Well, what do I need to get to the market today? And our mind is elsewhere. Listen, speak, Lord. I'm listening. Do we have that mentality when we come? And not just to church to hear a word, but when you pray, speak, Lord. When you read scripture, open up the catechism and teach me, Lord. Whatever you do to learn good spiritual reading, speak, Lord, I'm listening. Put it deep in my heart and deep in my mind, because I'm a forgetful listener. It's so easy for me to hear, and it goes in and right on out, see? So again, speak, Lord, I'm listening. Speak, I'm listening. So again, we see that the first step in overcoming a speech impediment is to listen, to hear, and to learn. Now, again, this is one of the reasons why a lot of Catholics and Christians in general feel ill-equipped to speak to the issues of our day, see? And we need to learn to listen. I think the Catholic experience is that speaking and teaching on the faith was something that we sort of consigned to priests and religious sisters and brothers back in the 40s and 50s, you know, just hand your children over to us, we'll bring them to the school, and we'll train them up in the faith. Well, how did that work for us? Parents are the chief educators of the children. It's parents who really need to hand on the faith. And we started sort of in the middle of the 60s and 70s, we started to wake up and say, man. And we've been struggling ever since because we've lost a couple of generations who don't feel equipped to teach the faith powerfully and authentically to their children. Well, we're trying to change that. Right here in this parish, I'm just going to say, you know, every now and again, somebody say to me, Father, some other churches have coffee and donuts after the Mass. How come we don't? Well, actually, we do. Every Sunday, up at the school, 9:45 to 10:45. Come and get your coffee and your donuts. And you know what we do? We sit down and I teach the adults the faith. Most of them have their kids in the Sunday school. Some of them don't. They just come because they say, I need to learn the faith. And so I want to just say, some of you come to Bible study. Some of you come to our Sunday coffee clutch. Don't let anyone tell you Holy Comfort of St. Cyprian does not have coffee and donuts after Mass. We do. It just means you got to walk that block. And that's the longest block in the whole city, apparently, because so many never make it there. But come. If you want to come to our RCIA, our convert classes, come, learn the faith, study it with us, so that hearing, our speech impediment starts to go away. And we read Bible stories, we study, we grow in the faith. So, brothers and sisters, part of our struggle in speaking, our speech impediment comes from the fact that we have a hearing loss. We haven't really heard the Word of God. Haven't really studied it. So you see the first thing. So we see the deafness. And then there comes, of course, the speech impediment itself. Because even having heard, sometimes people are afraid. They're struggling. The Lord knows whatever our issues are. Maybe we're afraid. We're struggling. We think we won't quite get it right. A lot of stuff. But I think fear is the big cause of our speech impediment once our hearing is repaired. Amen? You know, you're going to get it wrong occasionally. People, you're gonna be laughed at occasionally. You're gonna be proved wrong on some little Bible quote you thought you had right. That's a little humble pie. That's good for you. But get in there, speak, teach, especially with your children and your grandchildren. Some folks say, "Oh, my kids are raised." You got grandkids. Some of you got great grandkids. Why do you still have a speech impediment? You know, why do you stammer and stutter? Your kids need to hear, your grandkids need to hear clearly from you on the issues of the day. But what so often happens, even in our families, you know, people complain about silent pulpits, and they ought to. But there are too many silent dining room tables. There's too many silent living rooms. There's too many silent cars as we're driving back and forth, and issues come up. And so it is that speech impediment. The more you hear from the Lord, the more you gotta speak. So you see the vision. There's a place of unbelief, and the Lord goes there. And then the problem is illustrated. There's a man brought to him who he's deaf and has a speech impediment. So we see then, we have all these struggles. Now this leads us then next to the process. What's the Lord gonna do about this? What's he gonna do? Well, there's three things to say. He takes, of course, this man and takes him aside. And he puts his fingers in his ears and he touches his tongue with spittle. You say, ew. We'll get to that in a minute. But listen, there's three beautiful things to see here about how the Lord goes to work to help the guy with the speech impediment who's also deaf. Now, that's us. So how's the Lord going to work in your life and in my life, all right? So the first thing he does is he takes the man aside. The Lord is not running a carnival here. It's not a sideshow. Oh, look, I'm going to get this guy. Everybody, look. And the guy becomes used. No, the Lord takes him aside and personally, privately ministers to him. Whatever your struggles are in hearing the Word of God and then preaching it, the Lord knows what they are. It's nobody else's business. You know, some people struggle to hear the Word of God because of their own background. Some folks have struggled morally. They struggled with backgrounds and issues. You know, why? And suddenly we hear something that's wrong or sinful and we've struggled with it in the past and people just kind of shut down or they get angry. Or sometimes they just get sad. And the Lord knows whatever it is that's keeping you from really hearing with joy a word that he wants to teach. The Lord knows. Let him minister to you. Go to the Lord. Say, Lord, this word is hard for me today. Whether it's this word or whatever you just heard, it might be a call to some moral change or conversion in your life. Lord, that's hard for me. I'm struggling with that. I'm afraid. Or just a call today. I got to go out and be more vocal and speak to my family members. But Lord, I'm scared. Talk to him. He'll take you aside and he'll begin to go to work and minister to you. All right? So we see, first of all, there's something very deeply personal that the Lord does here to get this man ready. Now, the second thing to see is that it's picturesque. He puts his fingers in his ears as if he were putting the Word of God right in, just putting it right in. He says, "Ephphatha, be opened." Now, notice this word, "Ephphatha, be open," doesn't just mean let his ears become physically open, but I would say for most of us, the problem isn't our hearing. Our ears are working just fine. The problem is our mind is closed or our heart is closed. And the Lord says, be opened. Be opened. Now look, I stand before you excited and joyful about the whole truth of the gospel and all the moral teachings of the church. I realize not everybody shares that experience. I realize that. And I'm not going to stand up here and say, look at me, I got it all straight. I'm just going to say to you, the Lord's been good to me that over the years, there was a time in my life, though, when I had my fist in the air saying, I will not obey that. I don't like that teaching. That's just backwards. It's old-fashioned. It's, you know, you name it. I had all the... Now you can't shut me up. I'm so excited about the gospel, right? Now, I'm only telling you not to boast. I'm just telling you just kind of as an example. You know, if the Lord can get through a stubborn, thick-skulled, I've got a neck of iron and a forehead of brass, and I'm strong, I'm opinionated, you know, and the Lord could somehow break through all that and really teach me his word, the Lord can go to work in your life too, whatever the struggles, whatever the issues. I don't say I live all the teachings perfectly, but I'm on board, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You've opened my heart and you've opened my mind. I used to say, I ain't going to listen to that. My ears were working just fine. It was my mind and my heart that were closed. And so the Lord said, Charles Pope, come here. I know you're struggling. Ephphatha, Ephphatha. He stuck his fingers in my ears and put his word in. Are you praying with me? And that's been a process in my life, see? And so I simply say to you, let's all continue to let the Lord do that. Put his fingers in our ears and say, be opened. Now, he also touches his own tongue and then touches the tongue of the man who had the speech impediment. Because having his ears open now, the man is now going to be able to speak. He has something to say, but the speech impediments can still be there. Even if our ears are working just fine, some of us are still afraid. Some of us are still anxious. We think we might get it wrong and so on. So the Lord touches his tongue. Now, saliva in the ancient world was considered to have healing properties. You know, you all think, oh, well, that's just germs. But really, even when you cut your finger, don't you go like this? Come on. You admit it now. See? So there are actually some healing properties. It isn't all just bacteria, okay? But you get the point. The Lord is a healing gesture. He's healing this man, taking away whatever impediments now would still remain, even though the word is in. How can it come out? Well, some other healing is needed. Maybe it is fear. Maybe it's just, again, stubbornness. We don't want to talk. It's too much work. Whatever it is, the Lord can go to work and heal it. And in a way, it's sort of like right from his mouth to yours, all right? From God's mouth to yours. And out it comes, and the word goes forth. Are you praying with me? So you see, first of all, that we've seen today, first of all, the place of the gospel, a place of unbelief that needs to hear the gospel. But there's a man who can help, but he is deaf and has a speech impediment. So the Lord is going to work here. We see the place, the problem, and in the middle now we're looking at this process. And we've seen that this healing is both personal, it's very picturesque. And then the final thing to say about this process is that it's pure. It says, having done this work of the Lord, the man spoke plainly. Plainly, the text says. Now, that's a fine translation, but the Greek word has other subtleties that don't come out in the English. The Greek word here is that the man spoke orthos. Anyone ever been to the orthodontist? Orthos means to straighten, right? So the man spoke not just plainly, but he spoke the straight truth. Straight truth. Orthos is where we also get the word orthodoxy. It means that the truth is aligned, it's straight with the gospel. You see, the danger is that if you start opening your mouth, stuff starts coming out that isn't really of God. It's just your opinion or just your thoughts or your priorities, see? And so we need the word that comes out to be orthos. It needs to be straight from the Lord to the listeners. See? And therefore, there's always going to be a little of our personality in it. The Lord will use us that way. But what we want is to make sure that the message is really the gospel message, not just some of the latest trend or the latest fashion or whatever pleases people, but rather the full, straight, clear, orthodox gospel message. The stuff that's actually in the book, not just the stuff you wish was in the book, or stuff that you wish wasn't in the book. Well, let's just tear that page out and ignore that one. It's the full, straight, clear, orthodox faith. Are you praying with me? See, the Lord doesn't want to just have us open our mouth and say any old thing. Some stuff comes out that ain't God. Amen. He wants to put his word in our ears. So we hear his word. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. He says, be open. And now my heart and my mind become open to his word and teachings that I used to shake my fist at. Now I start to get and I become joyful. I went from being mad to sad that I had it so wrong to being glad that the Lord spoke the truth. From mad to sad to glad. Oh, be opened. And the joy and the excitement comes. You start to speak, but not just what you want to say, but what God has said to you. Make sure your vision for every moral issue, for every spiritual issue, for every doctrinal issue is from the Lord's holy word. Let him put that word in. Let him loose up your tongue so you can start to speak and just make sure what comes out is orthos. Plain, straight, simple gospel. This morning at the 8 o'clock Mass, I Heard the organist there, Gwyn, behind me. She played how to reach the masses, men of every birth. Preach the gospel, simple, pure, and free. And the Lord just goes on to say, don't exalt the preacher, don't exalt the pew. Just preach the gospel, simple and true. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, says the Lord, will draw all people to me. Oh, yes, a beautiful old song. Preach the gospel, simple, pure, true, free. So there is this beautiful gospel that we have today. There is a final thing to leave you with. We've seen, first of all, the place of the gospel, a place that needs to hear a word. And there's a man who can do it, but he's deaf, hasn't heard it, and he's got a speech impediment. And the Lord goes to work. That's you. That's me. And then we see that, the place, the problem, the process, and finally, the proclamation. The Lord says something. It is full of irony. It is just dripping with irony. He says to him, look, the guy just finally heard a word, and he's now able to speak. And the Lord says, not a word to anyone now. Rim shot, please. Oh, okay. But you see the idea. It's very ironic, isn't it? It's dripping with irony. Not a word to anyone now. Look, when the Lord really goes to work in your life and opens your ears and opens your heart and your mind and you start to have joy in the truth, oh, you can't not tell somebody. You got to just go. And I say, I thought I wasn't going to testify, but I couldn't keep it to myself. Oh, what the Lord has done for me. Oh, I started walking, started talking, started singing, started shouting. Oh, what the Lord has done for me. Oh, you see, this man, he goes and he starts to preach and teach, and the Lord say, not a word to anybody now. And he winks, got his tongue firmly planted in his cheek. Are you praying with me, church? The Lord, we're in the Decapolis. There's a lot of unbelief today, secularism, all kinds of issues. The Lord needs some of us to learn how to get over our speech impediment. He needs to put his word in our mind and heart and open up our tongue and let us start speaking the true faith and send us out, healed, and joyfully proclaiming. Another old song just comes to mind. It just says, God's trying to tell you something right now. See, he's trying to give you a well-trained tongue. God's trying to tell you something. He's got something for you to say. So the first thing is listen, be opened, let him put it there, and let it start to come out. Because this is one of those things that's just got to flow through you. It's not supposed to stay in you. It's got to flow through you. And if it tries to stay in you, you'll fire all shut up in your bones. You'll be on fire, and you just have to speak to bring down the temperature of your bones. Are you praying with me, church? The Lord can give you a well-trained tongue. It's not just for preachers. It's not just for teachers. It's for all of us. The Lord, I said, he can do it. He will do it. He can do it. He will do it. Give you a well-trained tongue.